Hey, Ben.
I knew you had my football analysis there.
Yeah, I like that. I like your shiver. The root canal gives you shivers. Is that what it is?
Yeah.
Yeah. It gives me the shivers too. I've never had one. I never want one.
I never want one either. That's why I'm really, honestly, like, you guys can hold me accountable. I feel like these Tuesday nights are as much of an accountability group for me as anything. I do need to stay on the teeth thing. You've told me a million times. Now we've got 20 people here tonight. I need to stay on top of that.
Yeah, you do. You do. Floss, see the dentist.
That time. How was your day?
It was good. It was good. You know, I don't let the Florida loss bother me too much. I mean, you know,
I like
the UT football, but I'm not going to get all upset if we lose.
I think you have a 12-hour rule. You gave yourself, like, you know, Saturday night on through Sunday morning. You know, by the time you went to church Sunday morning, you were over it and good to go.
I'd forgotten all about it. Yeah.
Well, to any of our UT fans, I don't know if they can relate to that, but I admire it, and I'm looking forward to this coming weekend where we can get some revenge here and start getting back in the W column. But we've got a couple questions here. We're going to go ahead and start with questions, guys. If you have a question for Dr. Rogers, put it in the comments. We're going to get to those. We're going to get to every single question tonight. I'm already seeing one question that'll be fun. I'm kind of interested. I kind of want to get to it right now, but we're going to wait. Okay. So I'm going to put this up here. What is your favorite treatment option for under eye darkness for someone who does not want to use filler? I did text my sister, who's our esthetician in the Tri-Cities. So I have an answer from her. Do you want to take a shot at this, or you want me to go with her answer?
Yeah, I was going to say, ask Kelly. You know, you got to be really careful with fillers under the eyes. That can turn out bad. But what's her answer? She knows way more than I do about it.
So Kelly got back to me and said that the way she would approach it would be through either Ol Therapy or Virtue RF. And I'm assuming the Virtue RF is it's RF frequency microneedling is the way I'm understanding that. And then Ol Therapy, to be honest with you, I'm not sure I can explain it super well. How would you describe Ol Therapy? I know those before and afters on Ol Therapy on you are crazy.
Yeah, that Ol Therapy works amazing. It works through ultrasound, deep ultrasound heating to build up collagen. It's a great little treatment for, you know, non-invasive face, almost like a facelift, really. Kelly's really good at it. So, but I think for under eyes, probably her favorite treatment is the radio frequency skin needling. And she does a great job with that. And she probably give you some things to use as far as creams and things that may help some of that discoloration and all. But,
all right.
Well, go see Kelly.
That's right. That's right. Shout out to my sister, Kelly Rogers, esthetician over in the Johnson City location, where, of course, we'll be having the deadlift clinic that we're promoting the heck out of because we're pumped about it. Okay, this is fun. I see what's going on. I see Dave, Lisa. What's going on, guys? Thank y'all for hanging out with us tonight. This question is, what treatments might you suggest for celiac disease? How much celiac disease do you see? I know you see a lot of,
some, but I see really more celiac, sensitivity, or gluten sensitivity. So celiac's full blown. I mean, you cannot eat glutens. That's a treatment for it. Just avoiding glutens. The other thing you might consider, of course, is our favorite go-to, which is Digest Shield, which has chitosan in it, which blocks down glutens because it's hard to totally avoid them. But so definitely get on Digest Shield with chitosan. And you got to be pretty strict with celiac. People that really have true biopsy proven celiac disease, I mean, they can't even, they're so sensitive to that stuff. that they can't even, when say you're going through a food line, if it's been treated by a glove that touched it, that can even set them off. Mm-hmm. So it's just a really bad thing to have. So try to be vigilant about not getting it. But there's so many other people out there that are gluten sensitive that have negative celiac testing, but you know, that to any extent they can't tolerate glutens. And most people that have lactose deficiency probably have a little bit of gluten sensitivity. So stay away from glutens. Are inflammatory in over half of Americans. So is dairy, milk. So, and that's another reason to take Digestion. It also has lactase in it to kind of block that down. So stay away from glutens. And, you know, gosh, it just depends on what stage. If you're having a terrible flare, sometimes we'll use things like budesonide, steroids, and, you know, there's all kinds of other biologics that the GI docs treat. But I like budesonide. And it just depends on the symptoms. I'm going to use a lot of just Imodium, you know, put the gut at rest. That's a tough, it's the ultimate case of leaky gut, you might say. It's more common than you might think. And a lot of times when you think you got a celiac problem or a gluten sensitivity, at least you just, even though your test may be negative, stay away from glutens. Mm.
How, I'm of the understanding that you can reverse leaky gut. Is it possible to reverse something like celiac disease, or is this something you live with, you know, for the rest of your life?
Yeah, you can reverse it by not eating glutens.
Okay. Okay.
You can become asymptomatic. Yeah.
Super cool. Great question. I'm really, we haven't seen a celiac disease question in a while, so thank you for sending that in over email. Chuck, I see you. What's going on? Great question. Ruth, I see you. Love a gabapentin question. Another Ruth. We got two Ruths in the building. What's going on, everybody? Thank you guys for joining us in tonight for the Performance Medicine Show. Let's get to our next question here. Is there a, and I'm going to botch this pronunciation. Is there a way to test for glyphosate poison?
Glyphosate. Yeah,
glyphosate poisoning. I ask because some articles suggest that glyphosate is the real cause of gluten-diagnosed diseases.
It may be, you know. It sure can tear up your gut and really kill off a lot of your good bacteria in your gut. And that's usually the way it starts causing that autoimmune cascade. But, you know, glyphosate, which is weed killer. It's a chemical that's meant to kill weeds. It's the main ingredient in Roundup. You know, I don't think all Roundup, I think they're taking a lot of that out of Roundup, but it's proven it causes cancer, you know, at least the WHO says it does, but there's so many lawsuits out against Monsanto because of, Roundup that they're probably going to ban it entirely. I don't know, but and all of us have been around it, so we've all been exposed to it. How much, you know, it's a dose dependent thing. I mean, the more you are exposed to it through your skin or your foods, the more toxic you can be. You know, it's really an endocrine disruptor. It affects your liver, your kidneys. Like I said, it disrupts your gut microbiome, and you can get a lot of problems, and which can lead to cancer. Mm-hmm. And that's the real thing that they worry about is cancer. So is there a way to test for it? You know, it's not a routine test. You know, we usually don't do it, but you can buy these tests from some of these labs. I think Great Plains may have one that you can just order up on the internet. I think, I'm pretty sure they're urine test. Usually toxicity tests are usually urine test. So you could probably get a test there and see. The thing about it, I think it's just gonna test for more recent exposure. I don't think it's gonna measure, you know, how much you have stored. But so But it's wouldn't be a bad idea if you think you're exposed to a lot of it. Even a lot of cereals and cookies and bad kind of processed foods measure positive for it. It's crazy because a lot of these cereals that the kids eat have glyphosate in them. You know, when you test them, it's not routinely tested by the FDA and these cereals and these cereal bars and cookies and things. So you can definitely test it through a urine test. Then detoxification from it. There's a lot of theories on it, but avoidance of the glyphosates is the main thing to do. And eating fiber maybe, you know, can kind of, and balancing your gut microbiome are good things to do. Sweating, drinking a lot of clean water and that type of thing help. But that's a really good question. And glyphosates, they're ubiquitous. You know, it's in our foods.
Yeah, it is interesting. And I think as we become, you know, more aware of stuff like this, you know, we're going to get more and more questions about, okay, what do we do now? You know, what does detoxing look like? Do we need to detox? Is it just a matter of staying away from them? But it sure seems like, you know, kind of fixing the gut would be, you know, step one for a lot of these things that are environmental.
I agree.
So super interesting. Great question. You know, we hope to talk more and more about stuff like this because, you know, I do think people are, because they're more aware, there is some fear around it. I'm going to, let's see here. I'm going to put this up because a loyal listener sent me this. There's no question, but this was just super sweet. We are also fortunate to have Dr. Rogers, who gives so much to not just his patient, but anyone who wants to be healthier. It's very sweet. And then,
Thank you.
This show is an amazing place to learn. And I'm so thankful that he really cares and wants us to all to learn. Thank you so much to Dr. Rogers and the entire performance medicine team. That's so sweet.
Thank you very much. Ben, are you sure you didn't write that? Was that really from somebody?
I can't write that well. Like,
yeah, that's that is pretty amazing. Yeah.
You know, it really, we really want this to be a place where everybody learns more about their own health and hopefully is equipped, you know, after the show to make whatever changes they need to make, or maybe this is a place where we're affirming some things you already thought. Or if you, you know, have questions about certain things. And I really, this just meant a lot to me. I'm really.
That's very nice. Thank you.
Kind of touched by that email. So thank you. All right, guys. So that's going to do it for the questions that came in throughout the week. We are going to jump in to the live questions. So if you have questions for Dr. Rogers, we're going to get to every single one tonight. You know, let's have at it. If you have a question, any type of question, we're going to answer tonight. I want to start with Richard, who's been with us since right at the 7 o'clock start time. Richard is asking here, a couple weeks ago, you said you have a bad back. Can you tell us what problems you have and how you manage the pain? So this is kind of, you know, you in particular.
Well, thank you for asking that and about caring. Yeah, you know, I wish I could really, someday I'm going to flash an x-ray of my back up here. I really need to do that. I have it on my iPad, and which is an x-ray of my back. And I've got a really bad case of scoliosis, which I guess I've developed over the years. Some people say you're born with it. Other people say it's always been there, but I don't think it's been there my whole life. But, you know, and being, so my back is curved. My spine is curved and it's rotated. So I have a rotation in one of my vertebrae that kind of pokes out a little bit. So a lot of it stems from that. And it's painful, it's stiff. I'm 68 years old, so I obviously have degenerative disc disease. So my back has kind of, you know, got a lot of arthritic changes in it. You know, I've been really active. No major accidents. You know, I'm a biker, so I've ridden my bicycle. I've had a couple pretty good wrecks on it. You know, it may have affected it somehow, but, and I have no sciatica, leg pain or weakness or anything. It's just in my low back. But, you know, it's funny how I was talking with, I guess it was Dr. Osborne about my back, and, you know, he said he didn't, he's a neurosurgeon in West Palm Beach, and doesn't, he doesn't allow back pain in his office. You have a weak back. So yes, I have, you know, a weak back. And that's one reason, you know, I like to do, I'm trying to strengthen up my core, and I love the deadlift. And, you know, if you see the podcast today, we demonstrate the proper way to do a deadlift. If you do it wrong, you're going to hurt your back. And I think I probably may have exacerbated my pain by doing squats that I didn't have really good form, and maybe deadlifts as well. But, you know, you can't curve your back, your thoracic spine, when you do these things, or you'll get hurt. And that's one reason I want the guys from TriStar to come out and actually watch people do it and demonstrate it to them. So form is, needs to be perfect on the deadlift and the squat too. But yeah, yeah, it's very stiff. Occasionally, I will, take meloxicam. I take curcumin every day. I do a lot of stretching. I do my infrared sauna. I've got a little routine, with the, for warm up that Dr. Osborne sent me. That's, really good. I mentioned that book the other day, Built from Broken, and another one called, Supple Like a Leopard.
Yep.
A lot of PTs know that book. But so I'm working on my back. You know, I don't want to take, of course, I'm not going to take pain medicines for it. And I don't take nonsteroidal anti-inflammatories every day. Occasionally I will. You know, I've had a few injections in my back that help temporarily. I use a lot of heat on my back. That seems to help. I use CBD rubs. It seems to help a little bit. And I try to activate the glutes, retract the scapulae. And I think that helps. So knock on wood, I'm hoping that, you know, I can overcome some of the stiffness. You know, I also like chiropractic manipulation. I think it really helps. You know, and Ernie Dixon, our physical therapist at PM, works on my back a lot. He's got some incredible things that he does. I've had acupuncture on it. I've had dry needling. Like I said, I've had a few cortisone injections. Everything helps, but the bait, root cause of the problem is a weak back. So despite, like Dr. Osborne says, no matter how bad your x-ray looks, you don't have to have pain and weakness. A lot of it's posture too. You know, my posture through the years is, it's probably not been the best. I'm fairly tall, very long waisted. So, you know, I'll flip my, remind me to flip an x-ray of my back up there. It'd be really easy to do.
Yeah. One, I was going to mention that because, I remember when you got an x-ray of your back, you were showing everybody that thing just because of how curved it was. But to also, you know, Richard, that podcast with Dr. Brett Osborne was really, one, it was just really encouraging. And I hope anybody who takes the time to listen to that one, comes away super encouraged, because whenever he mentioned, you know, cause you know, Doc was mentioning about his, you know, scoliosis as if like, hey, I'm stuck with this, like, this is what I've got, you know, let's just figure out the best that we can do. And Dr. Osborne was very, you know, cut and dry. He was like, I don't care. You know, like you don't have to have back pain. And, yeah, and even more like pointed, he was like, you're not allowed to have back pain. Yeah. And, you know, so funny. Katie, our operations manager, just texted me, your x-ray.
She did. Can you get it on there? Put it on there.
We'll have to figure out a way to get this up here, Katie.
I don't know how she got that, but yeah, get it up there somehow.
Let's see.
It's kind of funny.
See that? Look at that. Look at that curve.
Put it up a little closer to the, little higher. Can everybody see that? You have to look at it.
Curved.
It's pretty curved. You know, that's where most of my pain is, right in the middle of that curve.
Okay. I think mom's going to put it up here on the, in my dashboard. Thank you, Katie, for doing that. That's so funny. But yeah, the Dr. Osborne episode was encouraging, especially for anyone who's felt like, you know, there's nothing that they can do. And that's really what the TriStar guys have been phenomenal with in the deadlifting clinic. And I'm going to put Dr. Osborne's book up here. Another just encouraging thing for everybody. That episode is already out. Get serious. He's super strong.
Yeah.
Thank you, Dr. Osborne. If he's watching, he's incredible. Okay. I hope that helps, Richard. I hope that gives you an idea of what Doc did. And real quick, because you kind of mentioned the whole gamut of things. If there was one thing that helped you the most, what was it with your own back pain?
Stretching, and Ernie Dixon, you know,
yeah,
our physical therapist. He's got me out of a lot of pain, because when I ride a car long distances, it really very stiff. I mean, I never would have dreamed when I was 60 years old, at 60, almost 69, how stiff my back would become. But I'm hopeful, like, you know, Dr. Osborne tells me, you know, he doesn't feel sorry for me. And yeah, that makes me feel good, because I do, you know, I do a lot of hangs and stuff, and reverse hangs, and I do a lot of stretching, and I think that helps. And I try to keep everything else, like my core, fit, because if I was out of shape and obese, and I'd really be debilitated, I think. I really think I would.
Richard, thank you so much for teeing us up on this one. It's a great question. I love the, like, what do you do for your own health questions? You know, one, because, you know, you could just be, it's, there's more context. So thank you, Richard, for putting that in there. Let's get to Chuck over on Facebook. Shout out to all the Facebook people with us tonight. Chuck, and I hope to see you at the grand opening. Chuck's over in Knoxville. I know Chuck's a Tony Basilio fan. So hopefully I get to see him, get to hang out with you for a minute. Dr. Rogers, can you speak on grounding? What are the benefits, and how is the best way to do it? What's your thoughts on this?
Yeah, I like grounding a lot. You know, basically the theory is, it's the electrons in the positive and negative charges of the earth and your body, and how can that benefit you? Because really, when you look at your energy levels and the basic cellular function, it all depends on these positive and negative charges. So, you know, if you can be grounded to the earth, connected to the earth, where all the positive charges are running through you into something that won't float free. In other words, you know, it's very hard to explain, but you won't have all these, you won't have too much free radicals floating around, which cause inflammation. So it's really can be as simple as just taking your shoes off and standing in your bare feet in the dirt, walking through the woods. Or, you know, people go to extreme lengths of grounding their whole houses. You know, I bought a thing for my bed, my pillowcases and my mattress that have wires on them, and they're grounded to the earth. And, you know, I think when I started using that, I really did it because of my back. You know, we're talking about back pain and all that. And I think it's helped somewhat. I really do. It's one of those things that you're not going to buy all this stuff and feel great the next day, but there's no doubt that it's probably healthy for you. Yeah. Did I do a podcast on grounding? Seems like I might have or need to.
I think it was around, you did one on this, kind of like a book review on the book Dirt, maybe. Does that ring a bell? There was a book.
It's a book called Eat Dirt, but that's a different.
So it wasn't that. You know what? I don't think we've done one specifically.
We should do one. I mean, people are going to the elaborate, you know, expenses to ground their whole house.
Yeah.
And think of it as, you know, if you're grounded and you get struck by lightning, it's not going to kill you. If you're not grounded, it's going to kill you. This is, you know, extreme case of it. But probably the best way to do it is it just prevents free radical formation and thereby inflammation and mutations and things like that. Because our bodies really run off that electron transport chain, you know, at a very cellular level. And it'd take 5 hours to kind of go through it. But the best way is probably just to every day to go out and walk or, you know, walk in the dirt or stand barefoot. But you can also do some of the other stuff, like buy some of the things for your bed where you spend 8 hours a night in. You know, sometimes we wear these rubber sole shoes that really don't ground us. So, and you can get special shoes that, like moccasins that will give you about the same benefit as standing in dirt. But just interesting, just really kind of out of the way. Some people say wacky ideas, but I think there's a lot of good science to it.
Well, I mean, the lightning example, you know, I mean, that makes sense to me.
I just thought of that, Ben. It came to my head just now. I don't know if it's right or not, but
it makes sense. Carter's saying that Fran Wilson should be on that podcast, our PA in the Johnson City office. Is she a fan of grounding?
Yeah, she is.
That's super cool.
Yeah.
Super cool. I see. There we go.
X-ray.
There's the not good back.
Look how curved that is.
That's awesome.
You can imagine right where that thing is where I have all that paint. It looks like, it almost looks like my back is trying to separate from itself, doesn't it?
thank you, team, for getting that up there for us. You know, I think you're doing pretty darn well with that back there.
You know, you could actually go in there and put rods in there and have surgery and straighten it out, but that's a tough procedure.
You don't want to do that. I see my buddy Dr. Ford is here, who's from Cleveland, Tennessee. I see him at all the A4M meetings.
Oh, hey, Dr. Hey, he's a great guy.
We're going to get to that question. I love his question. So thank you, Dr. Ford, for being with us tonight. Okay, let's keep moving here, guys. I've got one from Jay Jenkins on YouTube. Good evening. Do you think root canals are a driver of low-level inflammation? This is a great question.
Yeah, I think they are. You know, if you can avoid a root canal, you probably should. I mean, it may be your last option. I had a patient today who had two root canals, and they were still infected. And one dentist wanted to put them on long-term antibiotics, the other one didn't. So it's hard to know which way to go. You know, the antibiotics may clear up the infection eventually because it's in the bone. But it can mess your gut up too. So it's, you know, you're damned if you do, damned if you don't. So, you know, you need to take care of your teeth. I almost really think I'd rather have my tooth taken out than have a root canal.
Really?
But I don't, probably, you know, I don't know. There's a lot of implications with that too, but, you know, I just would not want to have a root canal. One thing you can do is, go to Dr. Creech and let her test your saliva for the different types of bacteria that are in it, you know, pathogenic bacteria. You go to my podcast with her. I've done a couple with her and they're really good. And, yeah, I know she kind of helped me a lot.
I forget what that test is called. It's something, it's like a P5 test.
Yeah, I think it is.
Something along those lines. But if you search for Dr. Susan Creech, Performance Medicine, you'll see both those episodes go up. Super cool. They actually go over Doc's results. All right. Well, one quick follow-up question from Jay Jenkins. Any plans to expand to North Carolina?
I'd love to.
We'll see.
Yeah, we're pretty close to Asheville. You know, we're right near the border. Yeah. You know, I love going over there. We call it the Republic of Asheville because it's a little different. But
Jay Jenkins, well, TBD on that one. But thank you for hanging out. Thank you for the question. Let's get to Ruth here on Facebook. My mom takes gabapentin for neuropathy and NSAIDs for arthritis. In your opinion, could LDN work in the place of these medications?
Perhaps. It's sure worth a try.
Yeah.
You know, gabapentin, which is now a class 4 drug, it's a controlled substance for some reason, but it can be effective for neuropathies of different types. You know, it can have its side effects also. Make you feel tired all the time. You can gain weight with it. Some people may need it. NSAIDs, of course, it's the mainstay for arthritis, but they have their drawbacks too. You know, if you read Dr. Osborne's book, he's not big on chronic NSAID use. You have to look at your liver, your kidney, and your stomach. And, you know, if you can really do it any other way, like certainly I would prefer LDN for both those conditions. We use a lot of LDN, low-dose naltrexone. Look at the podcast on that if you want to take a deep dive. But, you know, we use it for a lot of autoimmune diseases. You know, we had one mid-40s lady not long ago who was on, she has both lupus and rheumatoid arthritis, and she was on Humira and I think even methotrexate, both. And, or at least was on both. Maybe they replaced one with the other, but I think she was taking both of them at one time. And she got off both of them with LDN and hasn't had any flares since. So look into LDN. It's one of those outside the box type medications that's has a totally different use than what you would think of high dose naltrexone. So yeah, I mean, look, do your research on it. Might be a great idea.
All right, Ruth, I hope that helps. I love the LDN questions. I want to get to this one because I saw this comment, Mike, and I really appreciate you making this comment on the piece of content we put around methylene blue and vitamin C. And I, Mike, I'll tell you how that whole piece of content came about was Doc called me on Sunday night and he's like, "Hey, we need to put this out. I've been really thinking about this." And he just told me, he said, put quick tip for methylene blue, take 1 gram of vitamin C with it. And this is perfect that we get a chance to kind of dive in a little deeper on that. We got a lot of methylene blue fans, I'm sure, on this show and just in our whole ecosystem. But Doc, what's your answer here for Mike? I think it's important.
Yeah, you know, methylene blue and LDN are my two favorite outside the box remedies for a whole host of things. But yeah, you know, I was doing a little bit of diving on methylene blue, and if you do a deep dive on it, most people that use it chronically take vitamin C with it, a gram. One reason is because it won't turn your urine blue. You know, it's supposed to just be easier on your kidneys. Not that I found methylene blue to have any toxicity to the kidneys at all, but I think that's kind of why it fell out of favor for treating malaria, is because it turned your urine blue. So what? But, you know, so I think it pretty much helps its absorption. And that, so you may do a test. If you take it, start taking C and see if your urine's not as blue. I don't think it's going to do much for your tongue. Some people just take a gram of it, you know, in a pill form. Other people will do this, mix the vitamin C powder in with their methylene blue. So I think it just makes the absorption better. And obviously, if your urine's not turning blue, you're absorbing more of it. So try it and see. It's not going to hurt you.
Now, when you say take with a gram of vitamin C, are you saying like literally back to back?
At the same time, yeah.
Same time. Yeah. Mike, I hope that helps. There we go. They didn't take their vitamin C with it.
Yeah. See, if they had taken vitamin C, they wouldn't be blue right now.
For all the
they would still be blue.
For
so would our carpet. So would our carpet too. And our hardwood floors.
Great question there, Mike. Thank you for teeing us up on that methylene blue question. Okay, let's see. Where am I out here? I'm at. I'm gonna put this up because I see my brother Steve is in the building. Ruth is asking, how does Digest Shield and Microbiome Shield work together for gut health, and does everyone need both? This is a great question. I'm interested in how you're using this in the office, Scott.
You know, I put everybody on Digest Shield. The Micro Shield, you know, more so if you're having gut problems, so you don't really need to use that chronically, just if you're having problems. You know, it wouldn't hurt you, but generally that's what I do, is put somebody on Digest Shield daily and reserve the Micro Shield for that IgY immunoglobulin healing properties, so to speak, for short burst. But I think they both work. I really do. But I put all my patients on Digest Shield. You know, they ask me, which probiotic should I take? And I go, just take Digest Shield. It's got everything you need in it.
And quick tip for the Digest Shield takers, 30 minutes prior to your biggest meal, or sometimes people take it twice a day if they eat pretty heavy lunch and dinner.
Anybody with any kind of gut problems, I put it on twice a day. Taking it for probiotic once a day, probably fine.
Steve is saying Microbiome Shield kills 29 different pathogens in case there is overgrowth. So Ruth, I hope that helps. Steve, thank you so much for chiming in there. All right, let's keep moving here, guys. I've got another question from Teresa on Facebook. Dr. Rogers, can you speak on lupus autoimmune pancreatitis and treatment for an acute flare? What's your thoughts?
It can happen. Certainly, you know, when you think of lupus, you think toxicity to the kidneys, but it's an autoimmune disease and it can flare your pancreas up. You know, with pancreatitis, it's hard to treat. You really have to put the gut at rest. You know, pancreatitis can put you in the hospital. It usually does. Sometimes they even have to snake an NG tube down into your stomach and you'll be NPO. You can't, nothing by mouth for a while. You know, sometimes they'll use enzymes and other measurements to help digest your food. But the pancreas has, you know, things that help break down the food that you eat. So if your pancreas is flared up, you just can't eat. So it's a toughie. You know, if you're an acute flare, NPO, you can't eat anything, basically. That's the treatment for, because there's nothing else that's a great medicine for it. You know, they try different things. I mean, they use steroids to even almost kind of chemotherapeutic type medications for it, but it's a toughie. You might try LDN. I love LDN for lupus. So it's possible that LDN would help you in a case like that.
Teresa, thank you for putting that in there. I hope that helps. We're gonna keep going here, guys. I see Crystal is asking on Facebook. Hello, Dr. Rogers. My daughter suffers from alopecia in her crown area. Does your clinic treat this disorder, and can it be reversed or cured? Thank you, Crystal, for the question, for being here tonight. I know you have thoughts on this. What's your thoughts?
Well, yeah, we treat it. First of all, we need to find out what's causing it. You know, it doesn't sound like alopecia areata, which is different, completely bald spots in different places in the scalp. But in the crown area, it sounds like more thinning. So, you know, we need to do a metabolic panel, check all the hormone levels, and certainly we can treat it. We use a lot of different things to treat it. Sometimes all they need is iron, believe it or not, in a case like that. But we use a lot of different things like biotin. Sometimes we'll even pop a steroid shot into the follicles. Sometimes we use PRP for it, which is injections of platelet-rich plasma into the crown. But yeah, there's a lot of causes of it. You know, a lot of times it's autoimmune. Sometimes there's a trigger. I saw COVID trigger a lot of this. So try to find the root cause of it. I've even seen stress do it. So get to the bottom of the cause, and then you can start treating it. Thyroid, you always look at that. Selenium, zinc.
All right, Crystal, I hope that helps. Thank you so much for that question around alopecia. Let's get Dennis's question up here. Dr. Nathan Bryan says on his Instagram today that he didn't recommend methylene blue if you take nitric oxide supplements. What's your opinion? I love this question because that is the question. That's
they kind of oppose each other.
Yeah.
You know, nitric oxide agonist, vasodilate, you know, athletes take them, and you know, L-arginine, L-citrulline. Methylene blue is really a nitric oxide inhibitor. So there's two different theories. I think there's a little bit of good to both. It just depends on, you know, what you're looking for. You know, some people say you really don't need extra supplements for nitric oxide. You know, it's just eat the right kind of foods. So, you know, I haven't found personally, I take methylene blue. I think it makes me feel better. I think methylene blue is really great for your breathing. It's great for your brain. Nitric oxide supplements or agonists are more for vasodilation. You know, maybe if you want to have more of a pump, some people use it for, you know, ED and things like that. So they're kind of looking at two different situations, but it's really interesting. When I took a deep dive into methylene blue, because when I was doing that, I was at the time recommending, you know, L-arginine, L-citrulline for nitric oxide, you know, stimulation. So it's a really, you know, it's a dichotomy. So, you know, you're an experienced doctor. I mean, I'd like to see what you think after you take it, kind of a dive on it. And if you got any ideas, you know, you've certainly seen a lot of the anesthesia medicines and also the primary care stuff. I mean, you're an all-rounded, I call you the Renaissance man. You know, that's what I call him. I just hope he's not eating any of those little Debbie cakes. I know they're all around him.
Yeah.
He'll know what I mean by that, but certainly he's not eating them. But so, just a funny story about that.
So you're thinking jury's still out on this as far as, you know, taking both at the same time?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, yeah. I mean, that's a really, really good point. So I'd almost tell you to go with one or the other, depending on the needs that you might be looking for. So that's really, I want to get your opinion on it. You know, what you do, a dive on it and see what you think. Maybe, you know, do one or the other and see how different you feel. You know, I know because he works out a lot. Yeah. He's really fit. You know, I think he may be a year or two older than me, but he looks a lot younger. You know,
Dr. Ford, this might get Dad to Las Vegas. Just this one comment right there.
I know. Andy asked me last night. My son Andy's definitely going. He's trying to get me to go. I think Fran's going. But yeah, we see Dennis at a lot of the A4Ms, and really, it's great to see a fellow Tennessean. Especially somebody who's kind of, you're very like-minded like us.
Yeah.
And I hope the digest shield's working good for you. I think we got some of it.
Yeah.
That when you were at the last meeting down in Florida. But yeah, I hope you're doing great. And certainly I love seeing you at all the meetings because you're a good example of a physician that practices what he preaches. So kind of like Dr. Osborne. I hope you can read Dr. Osborne's book that he wrote. He's really a Renaissance man as well.
No, it really is interesting. And Dr. Ford, if you have, if you've tried, if you have opinions on the methylene blue with nitric oxide supplements, let us know, put in the comments, put your thoughts, because that is it's a very common question, but we've been talking a ton about methylene blue. And, before that it was a lot about these, nitric oxide inhibitors. So it's just an interesting,
agonist. Yeah. Nitric oxide.
Agonist. Stimulants,
yeah.
I'm sorry.
Yeah. Yeah. That is, it's a crazy thing, interested to see what when you take it. Let's get back on here, and I'm glad you're on the podcast. If you have any great advice for anybody, this is kind of like a forum where we get a lot of smart people in here talking, and a lot of, I learn a lot, and it stimulates me to dive deeper on a lot of these subjects. And it's just fun.
Yeah.
Anybody who stays on this forum for an hour really, is interested in their health and kind of looking outside the box and things like that.
It's incredible. We learned so much from the comments, guys. I can't tell you how much it means to us. The questions you put in there, it gets Doc's brain working. It gets my brain turning. My mind is mostly just blown the whole time. But we're going to keep going here. We got a lot of questions to get to. Let's keep moving. Let's see here. Where am I at? What have I missed? Ruth is asking, and I'll get to Barbara. I miss Barbara's suggestions appreciated for a good trusted collagen and proper type 1, 2, 3, et cetera, for a knee problem. What's your thoughts on this?
Yeah, there's a lot of different advertisements out there for different collagens of, you probably want a little bit of all the types, the 1 and 3, especially, you're getting skin, hair, but you're also getting joints. I love the keto collagen. That's the one I use. I use it every day, and I think it works pretty well. Life Extension has the collagen gummies that, I keep on my desk. And if I'm a little snack, I'll chew on a couple of those. They taste pretty good, but, I would say the keto collagen is the cleanest one I've come out with.
All right, Ruth, I hope that helps. All right, Barbara's asking, what's good for mosquito bites? I know lots of people have been feeling this lately, including myself. I think you're an attractor for mosquitoes.
Yeah, mosquitoes love me. I hate mosquitoes. Gosh, there's... Okay, Barbara, we talked about this, and they eat Barbara up. She spends a lot of time in Florida and, whelps up. I mean, swells. I even wrote her an EpiPen for that. Hopefully she'll never have to use it for that, but keep Benadryl around. I find that if I put ice on it, it really calms it down. I try to avoid it. I mean, it's sad that you have to wear long sleeves and long pants out when you sit on your back porch in the summer. But, I know you can spray your yards and all that, but I've tried a little bit of everything. As a matter of fact, you were going to give me a wristband, but I never did see it, but it's supposed to ward them off. I don't like to tend to put bug sprays on. I just don't like it too much. The DEET and all that, it just stinks, and I just don't like wearing them. Just like I don't like putting sunscreen on too much. You're thinking about toxicities and all that, but so ice it down, put some hydrocortisone on it. If it's severe in your case, you need to take Benadryl and make you tired. But you've got a worse case than I do. I mean, they eat me up, but it doesn't last for that long. I recently purchased a big, huge fan. So I'm sitting out on my back deck at night. I'll put that fan right behind me so mosquitoes will not come in on it. It just blows them away. So I use that. I'm interested to see how these wrist strips do that you have.
Super interesting. Barbara, we're looking forward to hearing about the wrist strips and how they're working. Thank you for putting that question in there.
Mosquitoes cause more death than any other animal
really
in the world. Yeah. They kill people. you know, think about malaria, think about Zika. I mean, you know, it doesn't kill a lot of people in this country, but other countries, it kills millions. Millions.
Man, that's wild. Thank you, Barbara, for putting that in there. I see Allison's in here. Welcome in. Got a crew over at the Blake. Grandma Mary, I think Jane's with you. Hello to Jane.
Hi, Jane.
From Highlands. I love it. All right, let's go to Deborah here. Would you recommend epidural injections for cervical stenosis, trying to avoid surgery?
Yeah, I mean, in the cervical area, it's a little bit different than in the lumbar, lower lumbar area. You know, not doing epidurals, that's maybe that's something Dr. Ford could comment on if he's still in here. He'd probably be way more knowledgeable than I am on that kind of thing. I really just hate to give you an opinion on that because I know they work lower down in some cases for a while. If you have severe cervical stenosis, sometimes surgery's the only option. And I'll tell you right now, I'd rather have surgery on my neck than my low back.
Really?
Yeah, much more successful. Even though it's crazy to think, because most of the time they go in through here.
Yeah.
Going through the front of your neck. But yeah, I'll try to get some more information to you on that. But you're probably going to have to use an expert opinion on that. I hate to say something that may, you know, not be entirely accurate, not having experience in that.
Deborah, thank you for putting that in there. We're gonna shelf that for the moment until we get a better answer for you. I'm gonna get to Steve's question here over on Facebook. My brother Steve asked, "Would you recommend supplementing with vitamin C since I have quit my multivitamin?"
Yeah, I like vitamin C. You know, it's great for your immune system. And it's great for cancer. You know, we need to put that most recent fact-finding sheet that Dr. Bolton sent us on IV vitamin C for cancer.
Yeah.
But yeah, I like vitamin C. Some people just take it when they get ill, and certainly a lot of people will take if they get sick with something like the flu or COVID or cold or whatever, they'll take a gram of vitamin C every hour while they're awake until they start to feel better. So it's going to be really hard to overdose on vitamin C. It's virtually impossible to do it orally. I mean, think about it. You take a gram orally, sometimes we'll give up to 100,000 milligrams IV. When you take it orally, 20% of it gets absorbed into the cell. IV, 100% of it does. So, yeah, I love vitamin C.
And we'll get that link. It was a very interesting article around high-dose IV vitamin C and cancer. I'm going to put this up from Dr. Ford's the best. I can't tell you how much it means to us that you're in here tonight. Dr. Ford is saying, yes, I would do cervical ESI. I had two done on my neck 28 years ago, which is still helping. So this is for Deborah. So Deborah, I hope that helps. Let's see if I can find. Yep. Hope that helps, Deborah. Dr. Ford, thank you so much for putting that in there. That's incredible.
Thank you. That's awesome for you to say that. Wonderful.
Thank you, Dr. Ford. Okay, let's keep moving here. Let's go to where am I at? Let's get to. This is a, you know, this is an interesting question, Kristen, and I guess it's a would you question. Would you prescribe Ozempic for someone who isn't overweight? You know, obviously this is controversial in ways, but how are you looking at it? Because it's super interesting.
Well, if you're not diabetic and you're not overweight, I don't know why you'd want to. I mean, there is a lot of information that it's great for other things as well, like protecting your heart. And there's a lot of positive spinoffs from this besides better control of your blood sugars and, losing weight. So typically I have to have a pretty good reason. You know, I mean, there's side effects. Nausea, you know, is the main one, of course. And, you know, and the other thing about it, you could lose muscle when you take Ozempic. That's one reason I bought the InBody machines to follow that when I put somebody on Ozempic for either diabetes or weight loss. But so typically I don't like to do it, you know, unless you have a pretty good reason for it. You know, I just don't know if I'd want to do it.
Yeah.
You know, risk the side effects or anything like that. So we'd have to come up with a good reason for doing it. I know there's a lot of off-label things right now that people are thinking it may help for, like Alzheimer's. I'm over all kinds of stuff. That's a great question, though.
It is. And honestly, I appreciate this, Kristen. It's a question I know a lot of people are wondering. And, you know, Ozempic's, you know, famous. It's all over the news and everything. It seems like a ton of people are on it. You know,
and again, your weight, really, I'm finding out now that we have the InBody machine, your weight's not a great measurement of your body fat. You know, I love the InBody because it calculates your visceral fat. And so there is such thing as a skinny fat person. So it'd be good to start with an InBody test to see how much muscle you have, how much visceral fat you have, and come up with a good, maybe, reason to use it. I don't like to use any drug that I don't need to.
For context here, it seems, Kristen, the comments, this, I'm glad she's, you know, putting this in here, because it's something that I know so many people have felt this way. The question, it's, I can't lose those last 10 pounds. Is methylene blue, is Ozempic, you know, semaglutide, is that kind of, would you use it for something like that?
I have, you know, really, sometimes you take a lot of heat for it because,
yeah,
you know, it's really not indicated for anything except diabetes and obesity. But, you know, I admit I have used it for that. I mean, your insurance is not going to pay for it, but we have found a way to get a compounded semaglutide that works, you know. So you may have more visceral fat and, you know, you may benefit by losing 10 pounds. You know, especially if it's visceral fat. So come in and get an InBody and, you know, we'll look at things.
Speaking of InBody, I'm going to put this up here. One, just to give Montana and our entire West Knoxville crew a huge shout out. This is from my buddy, Gator Hater for Life. UT let us down too. But he stopped by the new West Knoxville office for an InBody scan. Excited to track growth. Montana was the best. I agree with you. Montana is the best. Thank you so much for putting this in there.
Great. And thank you
for stopping by the new West Knoxville location. I hope to see you at the grand opening. Get to meet some of you guys. Jane, did I miss your question? I want to get to Jane's question about a fall. Let's see where I'm at here. Real quick, let's get to, this should be kind of an easy one for you. This is we've talked a lot about DigestShield with antibiotics. And I know there's, you know, lots of different thoughts on this. Is Microbiome Shield needed after COVID antibiotics and steroids, or is DigestShield enough? So this is post, done with the antibiotics. What's your thoughts on this?
Especially if it's disrupted your gut microbiome, you know, I certainly use it after COVID. For sure, because COVID just tore my gut up. It didn't really affect me in much in other ways besides mild flu, but it really disrupted my gut microbiome. And I attribute a lot of that really to the things I hit it with, you know. But really, yeah, I think it'd be a great idea.
All right, Ruth, thank you for giving some context there. That's awesome. I hope that helps. Lisa's asking, methylene blue injections better than supplements. What's your thoughts on this for Lisa?
Some people do it. You know, again, some people will put it in an IV bag and, you know, as part of an IV cocktail. I haven't done that yet. You know, they inject methylene blue in your veins if you come into the ER with carbon monoxide or cyanide poisoning. But, you know, some people are doing it in a bag. You certainly, I can't imagine injecting it sub-Q or IM. It just, you know, it'd be blue, it'd tattoo you. But in a vein, possibly. I haven't done that yet, but I know some people do. I find it works tremendously fast taking it, the drops in water. I mean, it'll really wake you up. That's why you probably don't want to take it at night before you go to bed, because it'll wake you up. It really, and it acts almost like a stimulant, almost like Adderall or something, I think.
Yeah.
For certain people. I mean, certain people are going to feel it within minutes. Other people may take a while of taking it for a chronic problem. But try it.
Thank you, Lisa, for putting that in there. Let's get to Nell's question here. Oh, did I miss one? Where was that? Sorry if I missed that. I'm trying to see where that question is, Jane, about the son-in-law falling. If you could put it on YouTube in your comment, that'll give me some context, and we'll get that up for Doc here. I definitely want to get to your question, Jane. Let's go to, I had a question here. Nell is asking, what would you do for a 12-year-old with a sinus infection?
It's infected. I put him on an antibiotic, just like anybody else. You just don't want it to turn into a chronic thing. I mean, if it's gone on over a week, 10 days, he's has fever, he's getting yellow, continuing yellow stuff, he's tender in the sinus area, I treat it with an antibiotic. I mean, you can, you know, try nasal lavages and things like that. But yeah, if an infection, put him on an antibiotic.
All right. Thank you, Nell. Let's go to, let's see if I can find it. This is from Don and Steve on Facebook. Hi, Ben and Dr. Rogers. Hello back. I have a question and a request. What do you know about resistant starches? Cooking potatoes, pasta, rice, and then refrigerating. And the request is, I think Dr. Rogers and Miss Dr. Rogers need to make a list of the foods they eat daily. I love that request. I'd like to see that myself, Donna and Steve. I think that'd be incredible. What's your thoughts on this first part, Doc?
Yeah, resistant starches, you know, you want to avoid them. You know, some people will do that, cook and then refrigerate, and it seems to be better tolerated. It won't bump your sugars up like that. You know, my diabetic kids could tell you way more about it than I could, as far as, you know, I have two of my children are type 1 diabetics. Ben is not, but yeah, a lot of times what I recommend is you wear something like a continuous glucose monitor, like a Freestyle Libre, and just see what it does and see if it pops your sugars up. A lot of people say it works great that way. You know, a lot of people say, like, if you eat, like, even talking about glycemic index, if you eat a green banana, it won't pop your sugar up, but if you let one ripe, it will. Who wants to eat a green banana?
Yeah.
If you do that, it'll tear your gut up. But yeah, so get a glycemic index and look at that and see, and you can, you know, use that theory and cooking and refrigerating and see if it doesn't pop your sugar up. We can make a list. We're not perfect.
What we might do, Don and Steve, is do a little vlog. We might have a little vlogging.
What's a vlog?
A vlog is like a video blog. It's like, you know, following you around for a day. See exactly what I think that'd be awesome.
Vlog.
You guys, would you guys like something to see a vlog of Dr. Rogers?
No, I hope not.
Okay, I'm gonna keep going here because I don't want to miss anybody. Let's see where I'm at. I know I saw one. Elise has a question on YouTube. This is a great question. Plan to get methylene blue. Should I get on Amazon? What brand? What do I need to know? I know you get this question all the time, and we generally send people to Amazon is what we're doing. Yeah. And
well, we can, if anybody's Katie or Jeannie or what can pop up where we order it from, you can just order it yourself.
Yeah.
You know, we try to keep it in the offices, but you can order it off Amazon. And I forget the brand name. Maybe it's a 1% solution.
Yeah, it's a 1% one. And
she can probably bring it down. I'll show it to you in a minute.
And we'll find that link. And Elise, maybe if you could, if you're on YouTube, if you could shoot me an email, ben@performancemedicine.net. I'll get you that link. Okay, let's go. And Katie's saying UPS Pharmaceuticals is what it is.
Okay.
Over on Amazon. Let's see here. Kristen's saying, my son was referred to a surgeon for reactive nodes in his neck after ultrasound. He was very vague. Should I be concerned, or could it be from having chronic strep? So I think this is around. Okay, this is different. Okay.
Yeah, definitely could be. You know, make sure they go down, you know, and it's probably what it is, you know. You know, they can't tell you for sure without, you know, doing a little biopsy. So if it's persistent, won't go down, turns into a harder, non-tender lump, then definitely get it biopsied. But it's probably reactive lymph node. And certainly can come from chronic strep, chronic sinus infections, tonsillitis, you know, certain forms of eczema, dermatitis can cause it too. But yeah, don't ignore it. And see what happens with it.
All right, Kristen, I hope that helps. And Jenny in the green room, can you find Jane's question for me? I'm looking for Jane Webb's question around the son-in-law falling. I want to make sure we get to that. I'm going to put up a couple comments from my brother Mark Milford here. He's getting some great comments around couple of different topics. This is for you, Doc. Scoliosis yoga can help with pain and strengthen the muscles around your spine, which is reduced pain in people with scoliosis. That's interesting. There's actually scoliosis yoga.
Yeah.
That is super fun.
I think you use these big extra Swiss balls to do certain, depending on which way your spine is going, to kind of help maybe straighten it a little bit. Ernie's taught me some of that, but certainly it's great suggestion, Mark. Thank you.
And I'm going to put this up. This is for the pancreatitis question. Pancreatitis, glutathione, along with vitamin C and E, represent best antioxidants that we can rely on. Acute pancreatitis imbolica is a medicinal plant used to treat pancreatic disorders. Thank you, Mark. That's awesome. Thank you for putting that in there. Let's see here. If I'm missing a question here, guys, let me know. You can kind of put it at the bottom. I don't think I'm getting. Okay, we're looking for Jane's question. I want to get to Jane, and then we'll call it an evening. You guys have been phenomenal. At least I will email that right back to you. Ben@performancemedicine.net. I have that link somewhere. I think. Our team sent that to me a number of times. So this is perfect. Let's see here. Thank you, Gator Hater for Life. That's awesome. they're all wanting a vlog, Doc.
Well,
everybody's wanting a vlog. About
vlog, but here's Izzy. She got a haircut today. Doesn't she look good?
Izzy looks great. Have I missed a question, guys? If you okay, let's get to
here's Izzy.
There's
your haircut look good.
Look at that.
She's got beautiful coloring, doesn't she?
Can you answer
what you
this?
Call him Merle.
Can you answer this for Mike here on YouTube? The question is, can you hear me? Do you have any thoughts on NMN? Oh, this is a, yeah, this is topical. I take about 1.5 grams and it seems to be really clean energy, unlike a stimulant. Thoughts on NMN?
Yeah. You know, NMN is a supplement that is meant to raise NAD plus. You know, it's used a lot in the longevity circles. Can you hear me? Because Izzy knocked my earpiece out.
Yeah, we can hear you.
And here's Ike, by the way. He got a haircut too.
Mike, we gotta introduce you to Ike.
He's a lot bigger. He's way bigger. But he got a good haircut too.
Hey, Ikey.
We always end the show with these dogs. So
with these dogs, they put us in such the best mood.
Yeah, and they're no longer taking methylene blue because they get blue looking with it. What are you doing? But anyway, yeah, NMN, even though, you know, I think somebody made the comment that Dr. Sinclair got shot down because loves NMN.
That was last week.
Yeah. You know, it's, you know, I like nicotinamide riboside just as well, a little bit better. It's a lot cheaper and, not that it's cheap, but, nicotinamide is actually the cheapest of the NAD plus stimulants. But, you know, I chose after looking at it to put NR in mine. They're precursors, really, like I said, to NAD plus, which is kind of one of the ways you can kind of tamp down oxidation and maybe prolong life. You know, that's when they've done it in animal models, it works pretty well. So, you know, I'm okay with NMN. Certainly a lot of heavy hitters like Sinclair love it. Dr. Atiyah, he's kind of so-so on it. It's hard. Now I think they've even banned it on Amazon because it probably works. You know, anything that starts working as a supplement, they don't want it to be a supplement. So I'm okay on that. I mean, I think all three of those forms probably end up doing about the same thing, which is raising up NAD plus. And that's certainly a fine dose of it. See if you like it. It gives you energy. It does seem to give people energy. I think it's safe. You know, I know people are going to come down on it because it's a supplement and it may not have the double blind placebo controlled trials, but you know, I like them. You know, they're all kind of derivatives of vitamin B3 niacin. They're all related to niacin, which is a good supplement for everybody. Just interesting. So I'm good on it.
Thank you, Mike, for putting that in there. I did, Grandma Mary's putting in Jane's question. Let's get to Jane's question. I'm so pumped that Jane's in East Tennessee right now. Jane's question is, Paul fell and his upper back that was healing, and wounded his hamstring. Any suggestions to what he can do? So it seems, upper back was healing, fell, wounded his hamstring. Anything they can do for that, Doc? I hope I'm reading that right.
For hamstring, I'm reading it like he's maybe torn his hamstring.
And hurt his upper back, it seems.
Yeah. I would see, I'm sure he's seen a doctor already, but if there's nothing broken or ruptured, then see a physical therapist. On the hamstring, you know, you can tear your hamstring low or high. It's better to tear it low than high. It takes a long time to heal if it's a real high hamstring tear. And if it's bruised, you know, in the area, the back of the leg, the hamstring area, it's probably partially torn. It'll take a while. You know, it's just time on that and physical therapy. It's hard to say without knowing the details of the injury and, you know, what the x-rays look like and all that. But if the doctor's cleared him without any serious, you know, fractures or anything, I would certainly pursue physical therapy on that one. I've torn a hamstring and it took a long time to get better. Have you torn a hamstring?
I'm not torn it. I've tweaked it, but not torn.
You probably partially tore it if you tweaked it, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
That's what happened.
Grandma Mary, thank you for getting this question for Jane. Jane, thank you for being here tonight. This has been incredible. You guys in the comments are amazing. We appreciate y'all so much. We appreciate the questions. We appreciate the way you interact with each other. It's so beautiful to see. So thank you. And Mark, I'm going to get to that first next week. And I hold me to that. We'll get that first thing next week. I'm going to put this up real quick. Because this is next Tuesday, September 26th, 5 to 7. I'm going to be there. Doc's going to be there. Our whole crew will be there. Nutrition coach Lucas Schmidt, as well as the TriStar guys, Zach Jackson and Josh Davis from TriStar Strength and Rehab. We'll actually be doing the show directly after this. So we will be we'll be live in Johnson City for anybody who wants to stick around and hang out during the Q&A show. We'll be back next week, 7 p.m. to do the Performance Medicine show. We hope to see every single one of you there. Again, you guys are the best. Thank you for all these wonderful questions. Doc, man, you did great. I see Shield Nutraceuticals is giving us a 10.
He's always saying that, you know.
A 10. Jane's, I think, giving us a 10. We're getting some 10s here. But, Pop, thank you, man. I appreciate it.
Hey, thanks. It's great, Ben. Great to see you. Love you, and I'll see you. I'll talk soon, okay?
Love you. Love you. Ike and Izzy, thank you guys for making the show. Sherry, thank you. Angela, thank you. Roel, thank you. Katie, love you. Thank you so much. Carter, love you. I see Jasmine's in here. Jasmine, I love you. Our team is amazing. Thank you guys so much. Sherry, thank you. Mark, I'm going to call you. You're on my list. I'm going to give you a call, okay? All right. Love you guys. We're heading out. I'm looking for my outro from Brad. We will see you guys next week. Do not forget the deadlift clinic, and do not forget the West Knoxville grand opening the following, or that Tuesday, or that Thursday, the 28th. All right. Outro. See you guys. Thanks, guys, for listening to this episode of the podcast. Please share the podcast with your friends. And if you haven't subscribed yet, please subscribe. We will see you guys next time.